Gwandu on 702.
Welcome to the Gwandu feature here on 702, and we talk about Amandebele with Thulani Mahlangu, seasoned traditional radio and TV presenter and historian, coming to talk to us about this. Mabong Thokoze, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate your time. Oh, Mahlangu, ngiyathokoza baba. Man, ngiyazikhakhazisa ngawe mfumane. Thokoza khulu kwamambala. Asikhambe sokuzihlanzi nowena Mahlangu, sithome. Batsho batswana bare kesijatlhapi. Sikhuluma isikhuwa ke manje ngoba sinamakhuwa asilaleleko.
Yes.
Who are the Ndebele, Mahlangu? And I must confess, Mahlangu, that I'm one of the people that made the mistake of thinking that Ndebele people are monolithical in the sense that they are all descendants of Umzilikazi. We are finding out now, as we get to read more, as we speak to more elders, that no, this story begins far back. Who are the Ndebele, and specifically those that are of Gauteng, South Africa? Talk to me about them.
Well, thank you very much, Aubrey, for such an important question, and also raising it that in this status quo, we're being confused with Amandebele, Gamzilikazi. So just to name a few, there are so many nations that are called Amandebele, but people are not aware of. So we have Amanzunza. We know them in this status quo. They are based, and their kingdom is at Kwasimembiwa, Tambotini, Mpumalanga. And then we have Amanala, Alapa, now Mpumalanga. We have Umthwakazi, Amandebele kaMzilikazi, which are based in Zimbabwe, Matebele land, Kwabulawayo.
Yes.
We have Amandebele kaJikana, which are mostly known as Amandebele Mletlani.
Yes.
La Amandebele kaMgumbani. So we have also Amandebele kaLanga. Abanye, when the Pedi people refer to those ones, they'll say Laka.
Right.
Which are most based at the northern Limpopo, Mangobane.
Yes.
Yagula back there. We have Amandebele kaMaraba. We have people who are called Amandebele, but they are called Amanguni Amnyama, which are formed today by Abantu bakwaMsiza. When you speak of Amanguni Amnyama, we are speaking to, referring to Abantu bakwaMsiza, Abantu bakwaMnguni. And then we have Amandebele kaDwaba. So these are also nations, Angiwo, which form part of the debate.
Right.
But as you have said, let us focus on those Ndebeles that are being well referred to as Ndebele people. Well, first and foremost, after researching as historians, we do find that when we're speaking about Amandebele, they derive from Embo. That is why there's a saying, whenever, if you can just listen to praises, which are praised mostly by Imbongi,
yes.
Bazokuthi Amandebele yinkorombo. chukuthi la siphuma khona we derive from embo. But let's check the developed people today are based in the southern Africa, but there are different clans within the developed people, as I've mentioned. So the clans comprise of the following: Manala and Zunda, which are the most dominant developed people that we know today.
Yes.
You understand?
Yeah.
So there is a long history of why the developed people were separated from each other. Of course, history shows that the Ndebele people were once a united group of indigenous Africans ruled by one king and separated as years went by. The separation of the Ndebele people were caused mostly, you do know why the nations, like, they separate. It can be because of the royal family feuds or the wars or the colonization of a nation.
Because
that happened back then.
Yeah.
So let us now find the Ndebele people, because we can trace this history back to King Ndebele.
Yes.
Who is the founder of Ndebele. Aubrey Dumago, I think we must make it a fact, because many people are confused, Uti, why in this status quo are people called AmaZulu?
Yes.
Perhaps AmaSwati, AmaXhosa, AmaNdebele. Most of
let me just jump in there, Hlangu. It's a very interesting question that you ask.
Yes,
that, yes. When you say that there are people that are called AmaZulu, AmaSwati, you can trace to a family or to a clan that would have had that particular name.
With the
AmaNdebele, we seem not to have that clan or that group or that man or that family that is AmaNdebele, at least that I know of. Is there such a person, Ndebele? Is there such a person?
There are some surnames nowadays. If you can just check, I think around Eswazini.
Yes.
And there are also people whom I know, but then they're not literally called Ndebele, but Ndebele.
Right.
They are existing. So, but the point that I was trying to emphasize,
yes,
many of the nations were named after their warrior, you understand? Just like Yusha, you understand? So Ndebele was that warrior whom maybe got recognized, and then, but no, this one, when they asked them, okay, where do we derive from? Uti, no. Because they knew him.
Right.
He was that powerful king by then.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
So this nation was named after King Ndebele. So Ndebele also had sons. We need to unpack it till to this status quo, because we have different nations, Namanala, Namanzunda, but how did it come there with this debate? Nah, different nation. Because as you can see, it was one nation under King Ndebele.
But who was he? Where does he come from? How does he emerge in history? Just tell me, who is he?
King Ndebele is the son of King Mabutu.
Right?
He's the son of King Mabutu. That is that far where we can literally trace our history. Because
and King Mabutu is so help me understand, Hlangu. Where do we locate King Mabutu historically and geographically?
You'd know that they were based like on the Central Africa, but then as you know that there's sort of a dispersal or nations are moving in order to find a sort of a trade place. For instance, and perhaps in our Enotilego, where they could find
right. So it was about the movement of people as they search for pastoral land, and so forth. But does he emerge out of which part of the African continent? And I know that perhaps the names of geographical areas now are not necessarily the names of geographical areas then, but would you be able to say that he would have come out of what we call present-day KwaZulu-Natal, for example, or present, where do we find Ndebele? And what wars did he, you know, I need to know a little bit more about him.
Yes. So, Aubrey, as you have highlighted, a very important point. AmaNdebele, we do find that Ndebele, at some time, they were based at Natal, before it was called present KwaZulu-Natal, you understand? Because there were many there, we do find that they were also situated with Amahlubi amongst them. That is why when most of the historians, when they researched, some of them concluded that, no, this nation derives from Amahlubi, of which it is false, just because they were situated in a close area, like whereby they could also punctuate other cultural practices, you understand? Because if you can check, many of the nations which are referred to Amangul, some of their practices are fana today.
Right. So let me slow down. Let me slow down there so that we keep our listeners together with us there, Hlangu. So you're saying to me that the Ndebele. And I hear that because there are a lot of linguistic similarities amongst the Ndebele and the Hlubi people. We all talk about Uxela, we talk about Ekhethu, we all talk about... So there are some very, very interesting, distinct linguistic similarities amongst the Hlubi and the AmaNdebele. And you're saying to me that the origins of all of these groups is what we would call KwaZulu-Natal now, prior to the existence of the mighty AmaZulu now, right?
Yes, most of them, they were based there.
Right, most, and that's why those groupings are known as AmaNguni.
Yes, of which AmaNguni was naming them AmaNguni. It was like a political directive, a group era act. If I can recall, of 1951, if I'm not wrong, whereby the apartheid government tried to just put them under one umbrella, but we find that these nations were independent. You understand?
Right.
Because the Uzomfumana Ndebele city in Dwanye Ayidlenye. So what they wanted to do, they wanted AmaZulu to swallow all of the nations so that they can say, no, these are all the Zulu people, of which it is false.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
The team of AmaNguni, it does not exist. When we check the facts and we check the actual history, these were different nations. You understand?
Sure, sure. No, I get the political ramifications of...
Yes.
Of the idea of this confederation of states, of nations that are then later called the Nguni and so forth. The Zulu people call it Abantu Bembube, meaning that these are people that are cousins and so forth. So I get that. I get that. What I'm trying to sort of locate here, Hlangu, is you speak of Ndebele.
Yes.
And you say that it was a particular warrior who was king warrior, I suppose, right?
Yes.
In the same way that we have a Shaga who was a king warrior, right?
Yes.
In the same way that we have King David who was a king warrior, right?
Yes.
So I get what you're saying. I'm just trying to locate him historically. I'm just trying to find circa what time, what time was he around? 1800, 1600? When does he emerge in time?
Well, historically, we can locate that Ndebele ruled around 1400 years.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Yes. And then now give me the genealogy. So we have Ndebele, and then after Ndebele, we have whom?
Okay. Right now, let us just unpack it. So, as I've said, that our actual history can be traced to King Ndebele. So King Ndebele fathered King Mkhalangana.
Yeah.
Of which we know what we do call Mkhalangana in this status quo, mostly Abom Mkhalangana. Mandungwa, Mkhalangana, Gevaganzunza, Muskamsa,
right.
So, King Mkhalangana fathered King Ndungwa, well, not to be confused with the Khumalo, because that one is Ntungwa, because there's a huge difference in pronunciation. Yes. So, King Ntungwa, Father King Jonono. King Jonono, Father King Nanas. King Nanas, Father King Mafana. And King Mafana, Father King Mhlanga. And Chief Libogo, King Mhlanga, Father King Musi. So that
I recognize that name. That name I recognize. Yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
So King Mhlanga, Father King Musi, and Chief Skube. Uskube kangubokazi wendlodwe sesesangweni ngathana mana lengabi mayekete udlomngasakhile ucombululweni. So let us check. Historically, we do find that some of Ndebele sons were left behind with the Hlubi tribe. Mkhalangana, some of his sons branched and formed the Kalanga tribe. Ndungwa was the founder of Amadungwa clan, as I've stated. And then Jonono, he died in Jonono's Kop near Ladysmith. And then, but let us check King Musi, because obviously that is where the controversy begins.
Yes.
So let's check King Musi. King Musi's kraal was based at Emhlangeni, a place named after his father, King Mhlanga. So the name of the place is currently known as Randfontein. Well, the very people will just say Mhlakeng.
Yes. Yeah, Mhlakeng is the Sepedi translation of Mhlanga in the Nguni or the Ndebele languages, right? Okay?
Yes. So, and they later moved to Kwamnyamana, which is now called Emarula or Bonacord in Pretoria.
Yeah.
So, Kim Musi was a polygamist and fathered the following sons, namely from the third wife. The firstborn, we need to emphasize this fact, the firstborn of King Musi from the third wife was Sikhosana.
Ujali.
Ujali.
Yeah.
Sikhosana Sikamsika Mhlanga Mhlanga Komokana Nase.
Yeah.
And he was called Masombuka Ngombana Usombulukile.
Wamathom.
Yes. So.
So, So, wonderful to hear, Hlangu, how you, as you try to explain this thing to me in English and all of these things, you revert back to the oral tradition, because I hear how you rattle the names off using the agency or the style of keeping information that we know as oral tradition. I can hear it in the way that you go back and you recite and you recite and then you stop and then you pull it out. You pull out a file for me and then you explain it for me. I find that very fascinating. It's beautiful to see, beautiful to watch. And it's something that we need to really understand, particularly as African people, that the telling of the history of African people is locked and needs to be decoded because it's locked in the what we would call the praise sayings in isbongo. That is where the history of our people is hidden. And if you don't know how to unlock it, how to decode it, much of this can be lost to us. So I'm loving the fact that you are able to go back into it, and I listen to the way that you you find the files in that oral tradition almost poetically. I see that. Now, you speak of a King Musi who was a polygamist, who had three wives, you say, Tulani. And you first spoke about the first wife of King Musi, who birthed a man child by the name of Sikhosana Ujali Umasombuka. Umasombuka in his Ndebele hides the meaning that says he who is first. Yeah? All right. Kubeka wena mapo.
Yes. Just to rectify, we've been really, because what I do is that I speak first and something that I have tangible. So we have not yet found how many wives.
I thought you said three. My apologies. Go ahead.
But we know that the first son was from the third wife, Kosana.
Okay. Oh, was from the third wife. The first son was... that's my confusion. All right, yeah.
Yes. So you can just tell by the name Kosana, what does it mean? Literally, it was Ikosana.
Yes. Understand? Yeah, the prince. So,
yes.
So the heir to the throne, yeah?
Sort of, but not literally.
Okay.
Ikosana is the first son, even though he's not perhaps going to occupy the throne, but then he was Ikosana Kaise.
So he is the firstborn to his father.
Yes.
So he is the one that breaks the matrix. In other words, he then becomes the apple of the father's eye, as it were. Yeah?
Yeah. So,
all right. No, okay. I hear you. I hear you. Yeah.
Yes. And then we have Manala.
Yes.
Manala was the first son from the great wife.
Right.
Yes. And then we have Ndunda, who was the first son of the second wife.
Right.
So according to Ndebele custom, the heir to the throne of the king is the firstborn son from the great wife.
Mm-hmm.
Hence Manala was the heir to the Ndebele throne.
Right.
When the great wife, there's a lot of controversy in this thing, especially when it comes to untaking it. So there are two sides to a story that we do learn from in the status quo. Okay, I have to make that and make people aware. You understand?
Yeah.
So let us start from the first. When we research, we do find that when the great wife of King Musi died, of which is Umaramanala, right?
Yes.
King Musi was blind because he was very old and was sick. You do know that. So he was nursed by the surviving wife and mother of Ndunda.
Yes.
So due to the fact that Musi was very old, he was also worried about the kingship of the Ndebele nation. So there's a story or there's a history that we do learn from to those who came before us, because we are still very young, or we were still in our 20s.
So
those who came before us and us, when we do research, we do find that due to the fact that Musu was old, obviously was worried about the kingship, but we learn again on the other side that Musi did not want Manala to be the king of the nation. And we learn that one day Musi instructed Manala in the morning to go hunt Imbuduma, of which Ifungwa Babantu Baba Manala, which is called the wild beast in English. And this was a ploy to keep Manala away from the household in order to hand the kingship to Ndunda. Because King Musi knew that if he was to die naturally, Manala was going to take the throne.
But why did he have a problem with the young man? And I hear what you're saying about Imbuduma, because when we speak to the Manala people, the Mapena people, we say Imbuduma. I'm aware of that. But why did the king have a problem with the young man?
Well, Dumago, you know that in order to be a king, perhaps your father would analyze perhaps some of the things. And if he sees that perhaps you are, perhaps it can be that he did not see a leader.
Yeah.
Perhaps he saw a vulnerable prince. It can be so many reasons that I cannot state. But as I've said, that there are two sides to a story, of which I'm going to highlight them.
Yeah.
We are not going to leave stoned unturned.
Yeah.
You understand? So he gave Ndunda a kingship, and then Manala left, obviously, to hunt for the wild beast, as Musi instructed him. So King Musi told his wife, Umaka Ndunda, to call his son Ndunda. King Musi then gave the accessory to the throne to Ndunda, from the incumbent to the successor. You understand?
Yeah.
But then another story.
So let me understand. So King Ndunda, who prefers, King Musi, the elderly king, who prefers the second-born son. In fact, the third-born son, right?
Third-born son from the second...
From the second wife, prefers him to be the usurper of the throne, sends Manala away to go into... You know, this sounds like a biblical story of Esau and Jacob. You know the story of Esau.
You understand.
Very similar. I just want to stay with you. He then goes and looks for Imbutuma, for a wild beast, for venison, and here is the mother to... the one that he desires to take over as king. And some people may argue that it's because he was almost paying back to the mother who was taking care of him in his old age, that he was giving that throne because he felt indebted to her for those reasons. He then blesses young Ndzundza to be the next king. What was the symbolism of that blessing? Because I've heard the story now in Ngaya that there was something that he handed over to Ndzundza that he should have, in terms of custom, handed over to Manala. What did he hand over to Manala? I mean to Ndzundza, Hlangu?
Ndzundza was given an assistant called Namhali. Which was a mysterious like object, and that cries almost like a baby used to fortify the king.
Yeah.
But then, as I've said, this was not common. It was not common that a king to give his son rulership while the king is still alive.
Yes.
You understand? Because Alpumi Elinyen Gazachig.
Yeah.
You understand? You do know that, yes.
Yes. But we can't have a king while the other king is still alive. Yeah, right.
Yes.
Yeah, we see it in England right now that Charles III becomes king only because Gogo Indlovukazi has passed on. Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah.
So let us move on so that I can just quickly jump into the new history, which we also find. You understand?
Yes.
So we should, let people know, and then perhaps a person, because we are still researching, and then if we are done, like we are so sure, then I will come back again and say, no, Dumam, we've found our standstill.
Right.
Dumam, but what's very surprising is that Ikosho Alibusi,
yeah,
a second wife, customer, cannot rule a son that is born from the second wife. But then let me pass there. So, Musi then instructed Ndzundza to call Imbizo a royal meeting and notify the nation that is the king, and also to leave Kwamnyamana, which is follower. You understand?
Yes.
So, but let me jump on back. So, another history that we find is that, as I've stated, that Musi was very old and very sick. So, Makandzundza somehow influenced the king to give his son a rulership, because Manala was now, he had no mother, you understand? Because his mother had already passed away, you understand?
Yes.
We do find that Manala had some skin, bull skin, like the kind of oil of Nengi, you understand?
Yes.
So what they did is that they treat King Musi. You understand?
Yes.
King Musi requested Manala, as he saw that, no, his mother had passed away, so he's going to suck it, you understand?
Mm.
So he wanted to give Manala the kingship, just like another story historically is the faith.
Yeah.
So what Ndzundza did, he took a skumba sembuzi, a gold skin, and then wore that skin, so that when his father touched and feel his body, you understand?
Yeah.
It is Manala, and it is not. So we do find that is how Ndzundza bought a kingship. You understand?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, but you do see, Hlangu, the similarities in the narrative to the biblical story of how Jacob usurped the kingship from his father, Isaac, and the defrauding of Esau. There's a lot of that kind of thing in there. How much of this is mythical, and how much of it is historical?
We are raising a very valid point, because this thing does not only start from Munzunda and Manaane. We can say somehow that it's sort of part of indoctrination. Because if you look back to Abu Mguni, some historians, they trace their history from Mguni, and then they will put some words in the Bible. They derive here. So I'll say that it's part of indoctrination, but then it's our duty as historians too, and not especially us as young people. You understand? I'm very, very young. I'm still a student. But then I've took an oath to go and learn our history, because if it's gone, who's gonna teach us tomorrow? You understand?
Yeah.
So with can we continue?
Sure. No. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay.
Mahlangu.
So many people believed in Nzunza, while many didn't, and then Nzunza left with a number of people, because even in this status quo, Southern developed people, AmaNdebele, which are based in Mpumalanga, we know that in Nzunza rules many and has many followers.
Yeah.
You understand? So when Manara came back from the hunt, realized that no, Manzunda had received Namhal. And then he went to see his father. His father informed him that he had already given away the Namhal to Nzunza. Manara also called in Bizo with the few people left behind who did not believe Nzunza, and announced that Nzunza had stolen an accessory to the throne, Namhal. We do understand now what Musi is doing is creating a quarrel
between
his old fans.
Yes.
So why does King Musi tell Manala that Nzunza stole the Namhal, whereas he given him willingly?
Yes.
You understand? So that is why I say that there's a lot of controversy, and I've said that the Khosho Uhlalibusi.
Yeah.
So, but then let us move on, because if I can take time, no longer now.
Yeah, we're running out of time. But let me tell you, Dlango, it's very fascinating, the story you're telling me. You know, I the story of Namhali, I heard when I was a young child and so forth and so forth. And somebody then talked to me and said to me that there is also similar stories around, I don't know how else to say it, but it is the thing that you are given as a healer. I don't know what the right English name is going to be, but it's the power to be able to heal. I know that the Bapedi people call it peko. And it appears to me that the same principle is true for kingship, that there is a thing called this thing, I don't know what you call it. Amongst the Ndebele, it's Yoni Mamkhale. But also, I'm led to believe that even as we were hearing about the rituals that King Misuzulu had to go through as he became crowned traditionally, that he was receiving that thing traditionally, that peko, from the elders to then hold the authority to be king. And that is part of what people talk about amongst the Zulu people. Is that what you are referring to when you talk about Mamkhale amongst the Ndebele?
Literally, we can say that, because just not to confuse people, we can say it's like Indonga.
Indonga, yes. It's the staff. Yes, that's the word I was looking for. It's the staff in the English language. In fact, in the Bible, they speak of thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So it's that staff. Umamkhale is that great staff that almost carries magical ruling power,
So then Musasa instructs King Manala that if he really wants to be a king, he must christen Nzunza and bring him back to the royal household. And if Nzunza refuses to come back, Manala should kill Nzunza. That is where Mbango and Nzunza no Manala
That's where the quarrel between these two brothers started, Nzunza and Manala, which are really the two groups, the dominating groups amongst the Ndebele people of the South, yeah?
Well, some believe that Manala stayed back, then the son, because Manala gave back to Ngaku. So Ngaku was the one who caught up with Nzunza, who was with Uthombeni, who is Kekana, right?
Yes.
And Kosana. And his brother at Masongololo, around Kalnen.
Yes.
There's a place called Masongololo.
Yes.
So the two factions fought at Kalnen. Mana and Ngaku and his supporters returned home because they were in sort of isigumbe. You understand? So
what is isigumbe?
Yes.
What is
that? Replenish their provisions.
Ah, okay.
Yes. Yeah. So a sort of something that gives them power.
Yes.
To fight,
yes. Yeah. The Zulus sometimes call it intelezi. Yeah.
Yes, you can say that.
Yeah.
You can say that.
Yeah.
So upon their return, they caught up with Nzunza at Balule, Olifant River. So Manala did not kill Nzunza. You understand?
Yes.
So, but we must make it expect that when the Nzunza people arrived at the Balule, they found Abandu Bawamsiza, Bawamholozi, Abu Matetela. So, another figure, the headman of Nzunza was Ndala. So, they
Who are them, Caesar? Are they a different clan, a different...
No. Mangu Namnyam.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Also part of the Ndebele, but
yes.
A different today, group, yeah?
Today, they are part of Amandebele Nzunza.
Yes.
You understand? But then, Bona, literally, where they come from, they are called Amangu Namnyam.
Right.
So, in the Kapila Lapa, when they reached the Olifant River, Ndala, Nsiza asked, Uti, who are you? Nibobani. Ndala, Wapendula, Wati, Nina Nibobani. Nsiza, then Nsiza answered and say, Tina Singerovan sees that the Puma Bulanga Nibale.
Right?
Ndala replied and said, Mina, remember, Ndala, the headman of Nzunza, is the one that is answering Abandogam Caesar, whom they found at the Balloon.
Yes.
So he replied and said, Mina, I am Ndala, not Yidwa. You understand?
Right, right.
So what he. Caesar asked Uti, Nala, what's happening? You understand? Wava bo vizanda utola matumbu ngezanda. Like you're badly injured.
Yes, you're injured in war. Why do you... Yes, right? Yeah.
You understand? Because as I've explained, Uti, they fought at Kalnene Masongololo.
Yes.
And then Nala replied and said, Caesar, obuzwa nelibona kona. Are you even asking or as you are seeing the situation?
Yes.
Awubone ukuthi amanala amayekethe basicedile lebakwethu emasongololo.
So the manalas defeated us at the war of Songololo, yeah?
Not literally defeated, but yibo, they are behind.
Oh, they are the reason why we are injured. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So Nsiza said, no, it's fine. I will just help you. And then Nsiza... literally, they were called Abantu Bakwamnguni back then.
Yes,
you understand?
Yes.
So, and said, no, it's fine, we'll help you. So, they helped Nzunza, Abantu Bakwamnguni, and then, like, Baba Seiva, and gave care to them.
Yes.
So, but let us just jump because of time. So, Manala came to Epalule, where he found the Nguni people and Abantu Bakwamnguni. But
yeah.
Then he did not kill Nzunza as his father requested him.
Yes.
You understand? But then an old woman called Nokoli from a Nguni family mediated between the two
yes,
brothers.
Yes, yes.
You understand? and then an agreement was reached whereby Manala
is Vumola Nosaka not all. Yes, I've heard about that too. Yes.
So they reached an agreement that their daughters will intermarry. You understand?
Yes.
So the agreement that was made today is what is still existing in this status quo. It's Vumela Nosaka not all.
Yes.
It was named after the woman who mediated between the two, because
yes,
she was Nokoli was her eldest daughter.
Yes.
So they will intermarry. AbakwaNdlunza bakhipha their daughter uMthise, bakwaManala bakhipha uGanganu, and then they switched. You understand?
Yes.
And hence the Nguni family was later called Msiza, because they helped Nzunda and Manala not to kill one another.
Ah, so they created that understanding between the groups through intermarriage, and that treaty, that agreement was then called Isvumelwano Saka not old.
Isvumelwano Saka not old.
Right.
So we must make it an emphasis, and our people should know that when you are above, or you just climb above Ipalule, we are under the leadership of the Nzunda people.
Palule is where? Help me, Tulani. Where is
the Olifant River.
Yes.
Olifant River, just if you can just recall. And then if you are just below Ipalule, and then that means you are in
the territory of the Nzunda.
Yes.
Manala,
That's like Nazi, when we were in Johannesburg, we were in Pretoria, like back then we were under the leadership of Amanala. That is why even today, some people, some traditional councils are contesting that the place or the space that the nation building was built at belongs to the Ndebele people.
Yeah. Tell me, who's Tswane?
Well, I've not really gone and researched who was Tswane, but then we do find he was also a person back then who got recognized and perhaps Bamnigela the status, since, as you can say, today Tswane Metropolitan Municipality. So it's just like the likes of Pretoria, you understand?
Yeah.
When you were to talk about Pretoria, it is something, it's the name that came around 1855, which that came into existence.
Yeah.
You understand?
Like, no. The reason why I ask, Mahlangu, is because the story of Tswane, King Tswane, is also very fluid. You don't get somebody who can say, no, Tswane is the son of so and so and so and so. It's always very, very fluid and tenuous. One cannot bed it down. Tlangu, I've run out of time, my brother. I'm hoping that you will agree to come and talk to us another time so that we can get to know the Amandebele people. In fact, some are writing to me to say the Ndebele people are even found in South Senegal. That is how far north you find the Ndebele people, even to this present day. So I'm looking forward to the conversations that are going to tell us a little bit more. Mahlangu, ngithokoza khulu kwamambala.
Thokoza mina, and also I'd like to thank our listeners at home. Sadly, we could not just get their comments, but then we do hope one day I would come back, and then so that we can unpack it a little bit, because it takes time, you
indeed,
know. Tomorrow. So our people need us to educate them so that they can also not forget where they come from. So thank you very much.
Ntokoze khulu kwamambala. Tulani Mahlangu, presenter, broadcaster, and historian, giving us some background of the Ndebele people.